so last week we were talking a little bit about Sudas Shabbos. So when we speak about Sudas Shabbos, we're usually focusing on the lechem. One is required to eat lechem for Sudas Shabbos. We mentioned in the past the Rabbeinu Tam Shita that Shalosh Sudas doesn't technically have to be lechem, but most of the Rishonim assume that all three meals have to be lechem. So a person would think that all you have to do is make Kiddush, have a piece of bread, and call it a day. That's the Sudas Shabbos, all you have to do. So it's clear in the halacha that that is not the case. There are actually two different sources to indicate that that is not the case. The one is supposed to have a little bit of a nicer meal than that. So one is the pasuk Chumash, one is the pasuk Navi. So the pasuk Chumash speaks about Shabbos and Yom Tov for that matter being Mikrei Kodesh. So it's not clear what exactly that phrase Mikrei Kodesh means. So one of the many interpretations of Mikrei Kodesh is a comment by the Taras Kohen, and the Taras Kohen says that Katsheu b'Maichel v'Mishta. He's supposed to have Kiddush Shabbos is supposed to express itself by having special food, special drinks. So that's a din min haTorah. So a person just has a piece of challah and they don't have a nice kavodika meal, so it's hard to envision that that's considered to be a mikra kodesh. The word mikra kodesh itself doesn't require bread. Bread is part of the mitzvah of Gimel Suda, Zeich Laman, etc. But in addition to the din of Gimel Suda, Zeich Laman, the meal is supposed to be a kavodika meal. That's learned out from the pasuk of mikra kodesh. The Teres Kohenim says that the word Mikra Kodesh appears by Yom Kippur also. So obviously by Yom Kippur, Mikra Kodesh doesn't refer to good food. So the Taras Kohenim says that Mikra Kodesh by Yom Kippur refers to Ksus Nekiyah. You're supposed to wear nice clothing. It doesn't mean you're not supposed to wear nice clothing in Shabbos Yom Tov. So it just means that on Yom Kippur it's impossible to fulfill Mikra Kodesh with food. So the only way left to fulfill Mikra Kodesh is with a Ksus Nekiyah. You're supposed to wear nice, clean, a little fancier clothing on Shabbos than you would wear during the week. There's a Rashi in Parshas Emor that the printers goofed on because they put the Rashi in the wrong place. It says in each one of the Moadim, it says Mikra Kodesh, Pesach is Mikra Kodesh, everything is Mikra Kodesh, and then it says Yom Kippur is Mikra Kodesh, and it says Sukkah is Mikra Kodesh. So the Rashi by Sukkah, of all places, writes the way it's printed in the standard Chumashim is that Yom Rishon Mikra Kodesh. Rashi says, oh, Mikra Kodesh, Kacheh Buksus Nekiyah. They're supposed to put on nice, clean clothing on Sukkah. All of a sudden, what happened to Pesach and Shavuos in Russia? Rav Rashi waited till the end to quote the Taras Kohenim, so it's a mistake. That Rashi is supposed to be on the Mikra Kodesh of Yom Kippur, the same way it is by the Taras Kohenim. So the Mikra Kodesh of Yom Kippur, Taka, doesn't mean anything else. There's no other way to make Mikra Kodesh. So the only thing you can do is Ksus Nekiyah. So the printers didn't understand that, so they skipped a couple of sukkahs. They put the wrong Rashi in the wrong place. That's what when Amaba said this, I read the Rashi in the right place. It doesn't belong. But some of the latest ones trying to give a whole shiur Torah is why Rashi's in what's the longest why Rashi put the wrong put the printers made a mistake, so it ended up in the wrong place. Anyway, so what? I think in some of the later, I think some of the newer chumashim, I think they made the Ha'arah that it's in the wrong place and they moved it back. Okay, anyway, so this din by the Rebbe Kodesh that the Taras Kohenim says both is true, that for all Yom Tov, exclusion of Yom Kippur, it means food, and for Yom Kippur, it can only mean clothing, but for the other Yom Tov and for Shabbos, it also means clothes, it also means night clothing. For a person to wear weekday clothing on Shabbos and Yom Tov, I think, is a bitul mitzvah min haTorah. It's mamash a bitul mikra kodesh. Guy walks around the park, walking around in shorts, and is tanked up on Shabbos afternoon. So I think that's a very serious problem. Remember, there was once a fellow came to ask a shayla. Years ago, Rabbi Willie, a fellow came to ask that he had to go somewhere. He had to be like in one place on Shabbos Friday night, one place Shabbos morning, and he wanted to know, can he get onto the Long Railroad or something, on Shabbos, we'll pay in advance, and there's no Tchumen issues. He wanted to know, can you just stop and get onto the train, and be on the train, and travel somewhere on Shabbos, whatever it was. So when he prefaced the question to Rabbi Willie, so he said to him, I won't make it to Marseille, nobody knows who I am, and I'll put on a baseball cap, and no one will think that I'm Jewish, so it shouldn't be any problem on Marseille. So I think Rabbi Willick said to him that the biggest issue involved in the whole thing is the wearing the baseball cap. He said, getting on the train, no, there's no Tchumen problems, there's no money problems, there's no, you bought the ticket in advance, there's no mechmen, there's no real problem. It's not nice, it's not becoming the grub, but the putting on the baseball cap, because you want to dafka disguise that it's Shabbos, you want to dress like a weekday. So he said, that's an issue there, I said, that's a bit of mitzvah, because you've got to be careful not to wear baseball caps on Shabbos.
Yeah, why are we saying Mikra Kodesh for clothing also applies to Shabbos?
No, the word Mikra Kodesh means that all aspects of the day have to be different, have to be Kodesh.
But clothing is one of Yom Kippur,
right? No. The only way to do Mikra Kodesh is on Yom Kippur through clothing. The regular ways of doing it are food and drink. That wouldn't matter.
When people have like a special Shabbos
yarmulke,
is this a shtick?
try to, we don't have to wear everything, especially try to wear, how do we need special Shabbos titzes? No one sees it titzes anyway. We need special Shabbos undershirt, special Shabbos sat.
I will have a Shabbos Kodesh Shabbos titzes.
There you go, okay. Extra mach. Right. She'd say Mikra Kodesh, I'll call it Shabbos. Mikra Kodesh. Change it because of that. And then there's another din that requires us to eat nice meals on Shabbos. That's the Pesach Nishayon, the Kerosel Shabbos Oynik. The Gemara says that Oynik Shabbos refers to eating on Shabbos. It's both of them in the past. The covered Shabbos refers to preparation beforehand. And Oynik Shabbos refers to the eating on Shabbos itself. What is the difference between the din of Oynik and the din of Mikra Kodesh? There was already a din of Mikra Kodesh. You have to eat Shabbos to take a meal. So what is this Chadash does with the din of Oynik? So I thought the Pasha says is that they're really two different halachos in terms of what the Shabbos meal, two different characteristics of Shabbos and Yom Tov are supposed to have. That, first of all, it's supposed to be enjoyable. So that dinner across the Shabbos only doesn't mean it has to be fancy. It means it should be something that you like. Well, let's say if I like pizza, I like cold pizza. I like pizza, my hot plate, I like pizza. So that would be a kibbutz morning Shabbos, but I don't think that would be a dinner because Kurdish means that the food has to express the spirit of Kedusha. Same way the clothing has to express the spirit of Kedusha, so it has to be a little bit different. Even though it's true, we sometimes eat leftover cholent during the week, but the good hot cholent, the good cholent is on Friday, on Shabbos. The shvacha cholent is already by Wednesday night. It's tonight, maybe Wednesday. Okay, what's the left now? Nothing shvacha, everything's good left. So if a person enjoys his Shabbos meal, but it's not a very sanctity-filled meal, so that's a kiyum of Ayin, it's not a kiyum of the Kodesh. The other way around, also, this guy's a very, very, very fancy meal, unbelievable fancy meal. He can't stand it, he doesn't like that food. He has the fanciest cuts of meat, but he can't stand any meat. So that's a wonderful kiyum of Kodesh. It's not a kiyum of Ayin Shabbos. So a person should try to find both. He should try to find food that he enjoys. And is fancier than usual in order to fulfill both. I remember once somebody called me and wanted to know what I thought about having pizza. We have all together on Shavuos. We have pizza lunch on Shavuos. So I thought it was so nice because the Rambam said you should have milkings all over on Shavuos. So with the pizza, you heat it up on Yom Tov. It was such a gavala kenya. So I said to them, I said, usually when you go to a wedding, they usually don't serve you pizza because when you have a chashma occasion, so chashma occasion warrants a chashma food. So if you feel that the wedding between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu can be celebrated with pizza, so okay. But I think that it's a much more important relationship than that. So in Ochanami, in terms of Oneg Yom Tov, simple Yom Tov, maybe we had some pizza maybe. But in terms of Mikra Kodesh, probably that would fall short.
If there's like a big pizza lover and he has pizza at his wedding, could he then have pizza on like Shavuos?
Did his wife come to the wedding?
Okay.
The Gemara doesn't mention that one is required to have basar on Shabbos. The Gemara doesn't even mention one is required to have basar on Yontif. What the Gemara does say, as far as the Gemara Pesachim says, that Bismachah Bismikah Shayakayim, so you had to have Bisar Shlomim. The mitzvah of Yontif required eating Bisar Shlomim. Then the Gemara bemoans the fact that this man is there, we don't have a Bismikah Mikdash, so this man is there, ain't Simcha Elabiyayim. The simple reading of the Gemara is that there's manazeh, there's no basar anymore. Basar was only in the context of the basic Mikdash. Now Nebuch, there's no basar, so we're stuck. The next best thing we can do is having yayin. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. So the Rambam, when he quotes the Gemara, adds to that Gemara. The Rambam says, there's manazeh Mikdash, in simcha lebe basar shalom, there's manazeh, in simcha lebe basar yayin. But there's manazeh, you still have to have basar yayin on Yontif. It's not clear, does that mean you have to have every single meal basar yayin? Does that mean once a day basar yayin? Not clear according to the Rambam. But the Rambam describes the mitzvah Simchas Yontif as being basar yayin. The Rambam takes this with the utmost seriousness because the Rambam holds that Simchas Yontif is manazeh is a mitzvah d'arayis. And it's machleik is tais in the Rambam whether the mitzvah Simchas Yontif out of the context of the basic mitzvah is d'arayis. So tais in my kondaf Yudal writes that Simchas Yontif is manazeh is only the Rambam. The whole hakol mitzvah is only the Rambam. Simchas d'arayis is only bismana mikdash, only when you bring kabbalas and eat the sar kabbalas. And the Rambam Nuchas Yontif writes, no, the Simchas Yontif, they're actually even Bishar Simachos, even with Basar Yayin, you know, playing, taking kids to the music box, playing games, buying your wife clothing, and so those are all mitzvahs, they're actually Simchas Yontif. So the Rambam takes Simchas Yontif very seriously, this man is there, and he requires Basar Yayin in order to fulfill that obligation. There's a further machlekes within the Shittas of Rambam, what constitutes Basar for these purposes? Does it have to be Mamish Basar Behema, similar to Kachim, or even Bisar Ofut suffice for that. That's a Shail and Yechon. But according to the Rambam, there's a real, real din of Basar Yayin on Yontif. The Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes the din of Simchas Yontif, leaves out the Basar part because he, in the Beis Yosef, he criticized the Rambam, that's where the Rambam got it from. The Gemara never says Basar Bizman Azeh. So in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Rambam halfway, he quotes the Gemara, he says Bizman Azeh ain't Simcha Ela B'Yayin. But the eating of Basar on Yontif is not really required according to the Shulchan Aruch. Then the Mugin of Rambam, Mishnah Berurah, later, Echon Aruch, right? And maybe we should fall back on the Rambam. We should back off, try to fulfill the Rambam and try to have Bosser on Yom Tov. That's what we try to do. We try to have our meals on Yom Tov to be back to finishing meals. Those who advocate eating milchik meals on Shavuos, that's based on the Rambam. The Rambam is to mimic to eat milchik on Shavuos. So the Rambam himself writes that you should eat milchik and then wash out your mouth and then clean up your hands and clean the tablecloth and then bring out more challah and then have fleshiks. The Rambam never said to eat milchik at the expense of fleshiks. The Rambam said to eat milchik in addition to fleshiks. Why is that? So the Rambam writes that the minig of eating milchik is supposed to be a zecher for the shteh lechem. You don't have any zecher for shteh lechem. Most of the year we have zechers for the mitzvahs of Yom Tov. We have Shiras Omer going to many as a zecher to mikdash, and we have an aseda plate, we have a zecher l'kum pesach, a zecher l'kum chagiga, on Sukkos we do Hoshana, zecher to Hoshana. We do so many things that are zecher l'mikdash, and when it comes to Shavuos, there's no zecher to shteh lechem. So the Rambam writes, no, the minig Yisrael was to make a zecher to shteh lechem, to bring an extra challah onto the table. What do you bring? You bring two challahs anyway for lechem mishnah, so where's the extra challah? So the Rambam writes that the din is that a bread that was on the table when you ate fleshiks, or vice versa, on the table when you ate milchiks, you can't use for the opposite food. If it was just on the table, wasn't cut the challah, you had a challah roll sitting on the table, nobody touched it, then you could take it off and use it for a cream cheese sandwich tomorrow. But if it was cut up already, it was ready to use, and your hands are getting all over the bread, so the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a Yerushalmi that says that any bread that was on the table that was handled, b'shas ha'suda, if it was handled with fleshiks, you can't use it for milchiks, and vice versa. So the Rambam writes that the minig Yisrael in his days was, you'd come from Shul Shavuos morning, and you would make kiddush and wash and have some milchiks, so they'd bring out the chizblitzes, and bring out the, I don't know, whatever else they would bring out in Europe, probably not to be yogurts and ice cream, whatever other things, they'd bring out the milchik food, and then they would stop, they wouldn't touch, they would stop, they would clear the table, and then everyone would wash their hands, everyone would have kinuch, adoch, they would wash out their mouths properly, and then they would bring out the flesh, the yot of meal. So the Rambam says they'd have to bring out another challah, because all the challah that he had eaten with their milchik filthy hands had to be put aside for milchik meals. They couldn't eat it anymore. So they had to never bring out another challah. Ooh, they brought out a second challah to the table. Everyone would remember, oh, das is the shteh lechem. That reminded them of the shteh lechem and Shavuos. The problem is that nobody understood what the minhag was based on. So what happened was is that everyone stopped, everyone liked the milchik meals more than liked the fleshik meals. Fleshik was every time. Milchik, people didn't want to eat so much fleshik. So they were just eating milchiks. They stopped eating fleshiks for Gamri and Shavuos. So that's what a lot of poskim bemoaned at. They said, it's not right. Eating fleshiks on Yom Tov is a shalav der ayis, according to the Rambam. And even the Shulchan Aruch, who doesn't quote it as a mamish achiyam, it's an important thing to eat fleshiks on Yom Tov. So those who are eating milchiks and Shavuos should really go back to the old minhag about milchiks first and then having fleshiks later. And so we have a little bit different minhag about this. So some people are leaning to the doctor, some people eat milchiks and meals and Shavuos. And some of those people are assuming that you don't have to eat fleshiks in every meal. So usually what many people do is they'll have one of the meals, the night to the night meal, and the middle of the day, they'll have fleshiks, and vice versa. So sometime during the course of each 24 hours of Yom Tov, they'll end up with a fleshik meal. So they're assuming that that's okay. And the chachidah has a tzad, maybe that's okay. And others in Machma, others say that every Yom Tov meal, all four Yom Tov meals, for Shavuos, and good parts, all have to be fleshik. Once you have a little milk somewhere along the way, as a zeichet, it's finished, but in terms of... in terms of having a mamish totally milk meal, so some poskim didn't like it. Others defended that practice. So this whole discussion is only on Yom Tov, forget on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, and when it comes to Shabbos, there's no chiyuv, because there's no chiyuv simcha on Shabbos. So there's no chiyuv simcha, there's no din of boser on Shabbos. So what should one have on Shabbos? So the poskim say, even though there's no din of simcha per se, still there's a din of across the Shabbos Einik, and there's a din of Mikra Kodesh. It's supposed to be a nice, fancy meal. If a person could theoretically make a nice fancy meal out of non-fleshiks, so then theoretically they could be yotzei also. So it's harder, it's much harder for us to make. So usually we associate a nice fancy meal with a fleshik meal. It's, yeah, you go to weddings, unless you have pizza weddings, most people, all my life, only one time went to a wedding that was a milchik wedding. So usually weddings are fleshik meals, dinners for yeshivas are fleshik meals. We like, at the end of the day, we like to eat meat. So meat is always considered to be the highest standard of fanciness. And therefore, we should try. A person should try to have fleshiks for all the Shabbos meals as well. So Shabbos Shabbos, the minhag is that many of us will have fleshiks. Shabbos Shabbos, but for the two main meals on Shabbos, one should try to lechatchila to have fleshiks. If a person really detests fleshiks, then they can fulfill some of the Shabbos with other things as well. In the Svarim, the Sefer Kabbalah, they figure out the importance of eating fish on Shabbos. It's also a daga b'chom adamim. Shabbos quotes some Achareinu Marayim, but that idea of eating fish on Shabbos, that's only true if you live in a community, live in a time and place where fish is considered to be a real delicacy. If you live in a place where fish is not considered to be such a fancy thing, so then why daf? How much do you have to fish daf on Shabbos? So that's what some people don't need. Many people today don't. They're not mafid all of a sudden to go run to have all their Shabbos meals to have fish. And others try. Others have a practice to make sure there's a little fish at all the Shabbos meals, or at least one of the Shabbos meals, at least a mash, a little something of davim on Shabbos. But the ikra did is that the whole reason, according to some, the reason why fish was so important was in a time when fish was so chashiv. Piece of gefilte fish is not so chashiv. A piece of meat is more chashiv than a piece of gefilte fish. So the ikra din is one wouldn't be required to do so. In addition to the three Shabbos meals that we spoke about, so there's a fourth Shabbos meal. The fourth Shabbos meal is the Malamalka. The Gemara says in the end of Masechah Shabbos that a person is supposed to eat the Malamalka. Remember, when I was a kid, I was told the Malamalkas were just like, you know, when you have to raise money for the yeshiva, the shul, and who knows, it's like a real din. You're supposed to eat it. It's a real din Shulchan Aruch that one is supposed to eat the Malamalka. In the Sifra Kabbalah, they talk about all the keiches and all the things about Malav Malka, how a person's whole nourishment in Tchias HaMesim comes from the bone that's fed by the Malav Malka. Again, these are way beyond the scope of Redashim right now. But in the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch says, Befeish, why does Malkuyev eat Malav Malka? Why do you eat Malav Malka? So the Rambam writes, that's part of Kavod Shabbos. The Kavod Shabbos means, just as you escort the Shabbos in, so you escort the Shabbos out. So you make a nice goodbye party for Shabbos, that's the Sud of Malav Malka. That's why one should really try to eat the Malav Malka as soon as Shabbos is over, because that's mamash as you're scoring the Shabbos out. Sometimes it's not practical. A guy's busy, a guy's not so hungry, so when the post came out, you can still eat Malav Malka anytime during the night. The Chatzil is better to eat it before Chatzos, but even if you miss Chatzos, you probably still eat it after that as well. What has to be eaten from Malav Malka? So there's a machlekes post came, whether it has to be the same standard as soon as Shabbos, so maybe it has to be bread. The same way that soon as Shabbos has to be bread, so Malav Malka has to be bread as well. And others will say no, that just as according to Rabbeinu Tam, so the Shabbos can technically be in Mitzoynus, or maybe even Peiros, or things like that. So the post came out, if a person is stuffed, it's hard for him to wash from Lav Malka, but the average could be out to Mizonus, or maybe even fruit. But again, those are the Abdi. The proper thing is one should try to wash from Lav Malka. The Chazanish pointed out from the Rambam that there seems to be a mitzvah of Lav Malka, but say Yom Tif as well. A lot of people are not aware of this. That the Rambam writes in Rosh Shabbos that the dinim of Kavod and Oynig apply equally to Shabbos and Yom Tif. The din of Simcha only applies to Yantav, not to Shabbos, but the din of Kavod only apply equally to both. And the Rambam writes, Shikulam Nikru Shabbos Hashem, because Yom Tov, Machos HaShabbos, they're also, Yom HaRishon Shabbosim, which means Shabbosim, Yom Tov, we're also called Yomei Shvisa Mimalacha. So there's a din of Kavod on any time there's a Yom Shvisa Mimalacha. So since the Rambam writes that Malav Malka is part of Kavod, so then it would dictate that you should do that on Motzah Yantav as well. So one should try to be careful to have a Malav Malka when Yantav is over also. Okay, so that's in terms of basic overview in terms of Sudas and Shabbos and extension of the other. I'll try to move into a next major topic, and that's the mitzvah of Havdalah. So the Gemara tells us in many places that Sugizim Masechas Brachas and Sugizim Masechas Shabbos and Sugizim Masechas Pesachim, that one is required to recite Havdalah on Motzah Shabbos or Motzah Yantav. Where did this halacha come from? What's the source for the mitzvah of Havdalah? So this is a major machlokes in Rishonim. So the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Shabbos writes that this is a din min haTorah. It's based on the same source that obligates us to recite Kiddush. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Chof that there's a mitzvah d'araisa to recite Kiddush on Shabbos. Zachos Yom Shabbos Kasho, Zachreyu Bechnisoso. So the Rambam quotes that Zachreyu Bechnisoso, not just Bechnisoso, but Zachreyu Bechnisoso uviyitziyoso. So according to the Rambam, there's no difference, not an iota of difference between the mitzvah of Kiddush and Havdalah. They're both mitzvahs d'araisa. One is to bring Shabbos in, and the other is to exit Shabbos out. And they're both included, both under the same heading of Zohar. Many Rishayim disagree with the Rambam. Many Rishayim say that there is no Gemara that says this. Many Rishayim say that the mitzvah of Havdalah is only a mitzvah midirabam. It's not a mitzvah midiraisa at all. Even according to the Rambam Shita, that Havdalah is a mitzvah d'araisa, Havdalah lakos is not d'araisa. Because according to the Rambam, Kiddush HaLakos is also not d'araisa. We spoke about this earlier. The Gemara and the Mishnah is speaking about making Kiddush HaLakos Shel Yayin. So Ruba the Rishonim hold that idea of having Yayin is only a din midirabbanan. That's Tosa Shita, Pesachim Kuvav, that's the Rambam Shita, Sefer Chinuch, most, and then all the later Rechavarim, the Rambam, the Yudah, Mishnebura, all the sense of all the later Rechavarim is like that opinion in Rishonim that Kiddush HaLayayin is only midirabbanan. Kiddush Devarim is midirabbanan, but Kiddush HaLayayin is only midirabbanan. That's why there's a little difficult Mishnebura. The people made a big tumult about this year, right? When the first night of Pesach was on Friday night, so the Mishnah Berurah is a chiddush that even though there are different ways of calculating the size of a revius, so the Mishnah Berurah says that since all these things are all sfeikis, and by the Rabbanim we have a right to be makel, so the Mishnah Berurah says, but usually by Dal Kaisis you can go for the smaller shear, you don't take this humongous shirim for revius. But on when Yanta falls out on Friday night, so the Mishnah Berurah says then you should take the larger shear because his kiddush is a mitzvah deraisa. So some posts some question Mishnah Berurah, kiddush is a mitzvah deraisa, but not Revius of Yayin is not deraisa. Mishnah Berurah himself in Siman Reish and Aleph holds that kiddush of Yayin is only mid derabanan. So the fact that kiddush in theory is deraisa, what does that have to do with the size of the cup of wine? The cup of wine is only mid derabanan. That's a difficult Mishnah Berurah, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. That's what a lot of people this year were a little bit more machmir. They look for bigger cases. Usually by the Seder, we look for small cases because some Rishonim said, the Rambam says you have to drink Rov HaKos. Rambam says you just have to drink, just Rov of the Shear of Rias. But the Rambam holds you have to drink Rov HaKos. So that's what people get very nervous. But the Seder, they don't want to take these humongous cups. On Friday night, you take big cups, so it doesn't matter. You don't have to drink Rov HaKos anyway. But by the Seder, some Rishonim say you have to drink Rov HaKos. So they like the smaller cups. And Mishnah Berurah says, on Friday night, you take a bigger cup. But anyway, getting back to the story. So Kiddush al Yain is only mid Rabbanan. So Havdalah al Yain is Zichud the Rabbanan. According to the Rambam, Havdalah is derived from Kiddush, and Kiddush Gufa is only al Yain mid Rabbanan. So of course Havdalah al Yain is going to be only mid Rabbanan. Can anyone disagree? Could anyone combine Shitas? Let's say the Tosis in Pesachim Kuvav quotes one opinion that Kiddush al Yain is deraisa. There's a Rashi in the beginning of Maseches Nazir. It's not really Rashi. We don't have Rashi in Nazir. We have what's called the Mefarish. It's in the place of Rashi, but we're not even sure who wrote it. So it's called the Mefarish. So the Mefarish in Maseches Nazir holds a Gaftosis in Pesachim that Kiddush al Yain is Mamash Deraisa. So is it feasible, is it possible to hold like the Rambam that Havdalah is Deraisa and hold like Tosfos that Zachor always means Kiddush, always means Yain? You can come out with that Zachor that Havdalah al Yain is Deraisa. Is that a possible position? So that's an impossible position. It is mutually exclusive. You cannot hold both of those Shitas. Nobody in the world can tell you that Havdalah al Yain is deraisa. That's an impossible position. Why? Because the Gemara says in the fifth parak of Brachas that in the olden days they didn't say Havdalah al HaKos. In the olden days they used to just be mouthed with tefillah. They would just say Atachan and Tanu. And then the Gemara says Heishiru kavu al HaKos. When they got wealthy, so they were able to afford wine, so then they had extra wine left over, so then they would make Havdalah al HaKos also. The Gemara says when they got poor, then they did away with it. They got rich again, so we're still rich. Brachas, we're still okay. So we're still stuck with Havdalah al HaKos. Once they left it in place, they said that's it. So the Gemara is clear that in the early generations they did not make it. There's no such thing as Havdalah HaKos. All they said was Baruch Hamad, all they said was Tachan, all they said was some kind of Devarim alone. So it's clear from the Gemara that Midaraisa, that's for sure good. Midarabanim, the later date, hundreds and thousands of years later, they were Misachin Havdalah HaKos. So there's no way you can hold that Havdalah is Deraisa and HaKos is Deraisa. That's impossible. So either you hold like the Ram, Havdalah is Deraisa, but Kos was never Deraisa, even by Kiddush. Or if you really believe that Zohar requires a Kos Midaraisa, then you have to hold it to Rishonim, hold Havdalah not a Deraisa. Because to hold that Havdalah ala Kos Deraisa is impossible. It's against the Gemara. So fine. So the bottom line is, as Machlekes Rambam and the other Rishonim, what is the source for Havdalah? So Havdalah mitzvah Deraisa, that's the Rambam's view, is Havdalah only a mitzvah Derabanan. What's the difference? Who cares? At the end of the day, you have to pick Havdalah anyway, so it might not come in. So there is a big Machlekes in the Rishonim where the women are obligated in Havdalah now. So the chor, which should be pturos, it's a bit cessation as man v'roma. You only make Havdalah one night a week, 3 days a week. You can't make Havdalah on Thursday. So you can only make Havdalah a certain time in the week. So that should be a classic mitzvah cessation as man v'roma. Women should be pturos. The problem is that anything that's part of the mitzvah of Zohar trumps that rule. Because the Gemara Brachas of Chaf says that women are obligated in Kiddush Min HaTorah, even though it's man v'roma. That doesn't matter. Shem v'zohar v'di v'rechen emru. So whoever is obligated in Shmir Shabbos is obligated in Zechir Shabbos. So since women are obligated in Kiddush, according to the Rambam, by extension, they're obligated in Havdalah also. So a woman for sure has to make Havdalah. No shaila, according to the Rambam, women are obligated in Havdalah midaraisa, the same way that men are. But according to those who disagree with the Rambam, say Havdalah is only midarabanam, then you can discuss it. Maybe, if it's only midarabanam, maybe it's not bound by Zohar v'Shamah. Zohar v'Shamah is on deraisa, not on derabanam. Or maybe called the Tikkun Rabbanan came deraisa tikkun. Maybe they were misakin Havdalah like Kiddush. So that's up for grabs. That's an open-ended question in the Rishonim. So there are basically three different possibilities what a woman's obligation or lack thereof is vis-a-vis Havdalah. According to the Rambam, women are for sure chayavos midaraisa, no questions about it. According to one other possibility, we're shown women are chayavos midarabanan in Havdalah, the same as men. And according to another possibility, women are taka pturos. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions. He quotes those who say women are chayavos, those who say women are pturos. How does this play out, and what do we do practically speaking in terms of this big balagan that we show them? So next week we'll try to pick up on this, how Abdullah plays out lemais in terms of women hearing Abdullah, making Abdullah, being Yotzi Abdullah, Yotzi other people in Abdullah. All this is all extension of this basic question: what the status of Abdullah is? Is it ultimately deraisa, ultimately only a derabbanan? Okay, let's stop here.